the same Tony and Jenny you've come to love give you an extra dose every week.
I've done murals.
You have done murals. Off in the corner is really odd. There was a questionable chipmunk and a squirrel.
On their other podcast, Junkin' with Jenny.
And I don't know if one was giving a piggyback ride to the other.
They were making a churl.
That was questionable.
Here's how it works. You send in questions and pictures about items or spaces in your home that you want to repurpose. Then Tony and Jenny give you ideas and techniques on how to do it.
Letter says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I just purchased my first house. I'm discovering the joy of fixing and changing things to my taste. It's not cheap.
And how to do it on a budget.
We did levels, Jerry. Levels.
From chandeliers to bars to sleds to you name it. Tony and Jenny have you covered.
That stuff you don't need to prime or anything. It just goes right on the metal and stays right on the metal.
With unique ideas on how to make reclaimed items the star of your home. Complete with insight on what works and what doesn't.
The plumb bobs are stupid f***s. And
I think it's the first time anyone has sworn on this show.
Well,
congratulations.
Whatever. It's Junkin' with Jenny.
There you go.
Watch each episode at junkinwithjenny.com and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts.
50 Shades of Grout.
50 Shades of Grout. That's great.
All the things you can do inappropriately with one bottle of grout.
It's a great product.
Junkin' with Jenny.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email me your audio file, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Or even if you enjoy the old thing called reading, we have a book out called Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You can check that out. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever books are sold is where you can find that.
Mm-hmm.
Just do a little searchy search and enjoy getting freaked out this Halloween season. Some of our best stories in there and stuff you've never heard of the show in there as well. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again on this pre-Hallows Eve.
Hi.
Pre-Hallows Eve.
Okay.
Halloween Eve, if you will.
Hallows Eve Eve.
The Eve of All Hallows.
Okay.
Lots of creepy ways of saying it.
Okay.
And the mystery question I have for all of us today on this Eve of Hallows is why the hell does water that comes out of a faucet from a bathroom taste so dramatically different than water that comes out of a faucet from a sink?
It doesn't. Jenny? In most places, it doesn't.
It does.
No.
Every house I've ever lived in, it's different. My parents especially, but I know the answer to that because they're like water came from different pipes. I even asked him, like, why does it was really salty out of the bathrooms.
Uh-huh.
So that one came through the soft water filter and the salt and all that.
Uh-huh.
But the one in the sink in the kitchen didn't. I don't know how that works or why that works that way, but that's why I ended up that. But I noticed there's just like a, I don't know, it's like a more stagnant taste, if you will, when I get water out of the faucet down here than the one upstairs. Use less? Maybe it's just not flowing as much? Then it kind of...
That's my guess, is that you don't use that faucet near as much as the kitchen faucet.
Could
or
be.
The spigot on the fridge.
Wonder if it has mealworm eggs in it, like...
God, get off the mealworm eggs. I have been grossed out since you first talked about that.
You never know. I mean, if you can get that stuff in cereal...
Right.
Get it out of your sink faucet in your bathrooms.
I doubt it, but gross.
So be aware, everyone. Be aware. It's, of course, Ouija Awareness Month here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And there's plenty of great Ouija stories on our episodes this month. Had one on the last episode. So just if you're looking for a good Ouija story, just press play, binge away a little bit. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. My name is Alexandria, and I'm located in Oregon. I've been listening to your show for quite a while now, and I really appreciate everything that you guys are doing. I have a story, and it also involves my daughter, but I'm going to change her name and my friend's name just for the sake of, I guess, them. So I'm part of a group of people that go out to cemeteries and bring a talk box and stuff like that. And basically this little box, it has a dictionary mode that whenever it's given the right energy or whatever, it'll say a word or anything like that, or a stream of words. So anyways, we have this and a recorder. And so me, my daughter, and my friend who is super close, we went to a place out here called Sunset Memorial, and it's beautiful. I've never had, I've never heard any horrible experiences there. So we went, my daughter was in her stroller, my friend was standing with me, and we're walking towards the right side of this mausoleum. We were walking towards the left side of the mausoleum, and the box makes this weird noise. We don't know what it said, but we have a piece of paper just to write things down in case. So we keep going towards the side of this mausoleum, and previously it had said blue hair. My friend has blue hair. It had said her name. So we wanted to go over that side. And it didn't say anything for quite some time. And we started walking off. And all of a sudden it says, back. Well, I'm like, all right, I'll go back. And it said something like medicine and poison. And then we walked back down towards the old crematorium. It was a little further off, behind the mausoleum down to the left, and there's a little trail for it as well. So we start going down there, and it's a little breezy, and then all of a sudden the thing says shoe. So normally you look down at your shoes. My shoe was untied. All right, I'll start tying my shoe now. Thank you. And so that was written down. We go for a little bit more of a walk, and we're looking at the headstones and, you know, little grave markers and stuff. And we make our way past this tree that we had done a spirit board reading at previous. That was intense, and I'll have another call about that. But anyways, we were making our way past that, and all of a sudden it says string. And I look down, I'm not seeing a string next to my feet, but there's one now tied around one of my daughter's stroller wheels. And so that was a little creepy and pretty cool though. And my buddy writes that down, and we're walking some more. And there's a couple of sections that have a lot of babies, newborns. So we're going to go over there. We're going to check things out. There's two trees. One that has one wind chime, and then the other has a load of wind chimes. We walk right in between those trees, and this box says malevolent. My stomach dropped. I looked over at my friend. She looked at me. We're like, nope, getting out of here. So I shut the thing off. We quick walked back to the car. We didn't do it at a leisurely pace, because if something says malevolent and you can't see it, you go. So we haul balls, basically. Oops, sorry. We haul ourselves up to the mausoleum where the car's parked. And then something weird happens. My friend is about to put stuff in the trunk, and my daughter looks straight through her. You know how kids can do that sometimes, but it looked like she was following something. And then she made this wide-eyed face, and a bottle flies out of the trunk. But the thing is, the water bottles, I put them towards the back of the trunk. There is no way for that to have happened. But it falls out of the trunk, spooks my friend. And my daughter growls, and then when we're putting her in the car, She has never said this before. These are new phrases. She keeps repeating, he knows, he knows, he knows, he knows, he knows, he knows. And we're hurrying to get Sage. She pulls Sage out of her bag as we're all inside the car. We smudge and do whatever we can to banish. We let whatever it is that's doing this know that it's not to follow us. We're not about that. We don't want anything like that around us. And so as soon as the smudging is done, she stops. Her eyes go back to normal. She's chilling in the car. And I'm whispering to my friend, like, that's never happened before. And she's around enough, like, I see her every day. She's around enough to know that my daughter would never do that. And so we go to our respective homes, and things are kind of normal until bedtime. My daughter just turned 2. She was about 1 year and 9 months, 10 months when we did this. I didn't think anything of it, so we did this, but now I know. but anyways, I went to put her to bed, and she sleeps in the same room I do, so I figure everything's going to be fine. But I didn't have Sage at my house. I thought I did, but it up and disappeared. Anyways, so I decide to put her in her crib, and I'm going to go lay down on my bed. And they're just across the room from each other, and it's a very small room. If anything happened in my room, I would see it or I would hear it. So anyways, I'm laying in my bed, and I figure that she's going to fall asleep soon. No. Instead, give it like 15 minutes, everything was quiet, and then all of a sudden my daughter starts growling, die, 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 die. And I am shook. I recorded a video to send to my friend because I didn't know what to do. I sent it to her. And then she asked if I had Sage. I didn't. I'm part of the, I guess, pagan belief system. I'm mostly eclectic, and I believe in the powers of energy and so forth. So I have candles that I've already charged, and I light them whenever I feel that something needs to be protected or that peace or, you know, so on and so forth. I lit a candle and I picked my girl up, and I'm crying. I can't stop myself. I'm silently crying, hoping that she'll stop. She continues to do this while I'm holding. And the candle burns for about a minute, and then she stops. She lays her head on my shoulders, and she just goes quiet. And I hug her and I rock her, and she's fine. So I lay her back in her crib, and that's that. Nothing happens after that. I went to sleep, barely, and I talked to my friend the next day. She gave me some sage. And every other day now, I am burning sage in my room just to, you know, make sure that doesn't happen again. So, that's one of my stories. I don't think I'm ever going to be bringing my daughter out there again, because kids are more susceptible to things that we're not able to see. And I know that when I was a kid, I could see and hear things that others couldn't. And I was told, no, that's just your imagination. Well, I think I am a firm believer that no, there are things out there that we're not able to see or hear, and it could just be an age thing or whatever, but something's out there. So thanks for listening, and I really appreciate you guys and your show. I also like your dreams show as well. Thanks for listening, and bye.
who hasn't had an infant that would at one time or another look around, speak in a totally different tone of voice and say, die, die, die? I mean, that's...
I think we can safely say that she's learned her lesson, and I appreciate her calling and sharing that for anybody else who's thinking about taking little ones along on semi-investigation expeditions.
It's a cautionary tale.
It is.
Don't take your infants on ghost adventures.
Or take your kids, unless they're old enough to, you know, I would say unless they're teenagers and you really, really know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'd say that'd probably be the entry point.
Yeah.
Until then, you know, stick with the movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about Ghost Curious George.
Right.
I believe he has a new Halloween special this year. Either that or it's just the same graphic from the last 8 years.
It's the same one.
Repackaged. It's not a new one still. It's still no noggin.
It's the same one. Yeah.
Harper has a good new version of her story that she wants to share.
That she ripped off of Curious George.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she's told the Curious George one for several years now. This year's is, it's darker. It's taken a twist, a 5-year-old twist on it. And it's probably more like a 25-year-old twist, but it's Harper. So hopefully we can get her in here to share that lovely tale.
She's creative, like Jigsaw.
She's creative like Jigsaw?
Yeah.
That's true. That's very true. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Ryan from Boston. Just want to start off by, once again, saying thanks for the great show. I drive for a living, and you guys definitely make that a lot better, especially after sitting in Boston traffic all day. I'm going to get right down to it. My story, it actually, the whole story takes place in the Freetown State Forest, which is also in Massachusetts. It's regarded as one of the most haunted forests in America. It's a really cool place. It kind of has a dark past. There's, like, rumored to be a lot of, like, satanic cult activity. There was confirmed cases of body dumping, cattle mutilation, weird satanic shrines, which, like, in all honesty, is probably just, like, kids my age just, like, screwing around out there. But nonetheless, it's a creepy place, and if you know your way around it, like me and my friends do, you can get to a lot of cool places with, like, weird, like, ceremonial altars and stuff like that, so it's pretty cool. Anyways, my first story takes place, this is about a few weeks ago. My girlfriend and I went to an area of the forest known as the ledge, which is basically people go up top of the ledge, which is just a quarry that overlooks a small pond. They go up there and, you know, strike beneath the rocks and just do stupid kid stuff, so, like, throw rocks off it to get a big splash. And there's nice hiking trails that take you to the top or the bottom. So we usually go to the top and check out the view of the forest, but today we're like, hey, you know what? It's getting kind of dark. Let's hang out at the bottom. So we're skipping stones and just kind of getting around, listening to music. And the whole time we're facing directly, we have a clear view of the top of the ledge. And we basically saw what it looked like. There's nobody up top. We both confirmed that. Like, you can definitely see when there's people up there. Like, even if they're crouching down, like, there's such a clear view. And the pond is not that long that you can clearly see the people up top. It's about a 100-foot quarry, so not too tall. And there's nobody up there. And all of a sudden, we hear, like, a smack on the water and, like, a huge splash. It honestly looks like somebody jumped off. And people do jump off for fun and make it, but if you don't jump far enough, you can hit, like, the rock face. And unfortunately, it's a popular spot for suicide, so that's what we were thinking. So we followed the outskirt of the pond. I guess it's more of like a small lake, pretty deep. We basically followed it. We're trying to see if there's anybody in the water, but we're like, what the hell could that have been? There's nobody up there. So we were both really freaked out. And I mean, it wasn't that dark yet. It was like probably 6:30. The sun was still up. Like, there was still plenty of daylight. So, like, we definitely would have seen if somebody was in the pond and floated back to the top or anything. It was so weird. So I was like, hey, Ash, like, stay down here and see if you see anything. I'm going to run to the top. There's, like, there's a long trail to the top, and then there's a quick trail. It takes like about like 3 minutes to get to the top. So I got my backpack on, like my first aid equipment, because we hike there frequently. And I'm absolutely like sprinting to the top, like expecting to be honest with you, I was expecting not to find anybody because I know how the forest works and there's a lot of things there to play tricks on you. But yeah, I hightailed to the top and all I see is like a little piece of white fabric, which is so weird because the woman who haunts the ledge is known as the woman in white. I don't know what the actual story is, but there's a ton of lore surrounding it. Basically, it was a girl that got stood up by a prom gate. So she drove her car to the top of the ledge, and she used to be able to do it. People used to drive their cars off of the bell, so they closed that off. And apparently, she had committed suicide up there. So, yeah, all there was like a little piece of white fabric. And like as soon as I had my vision focused in on it, it kind of blew off the ledge and kind of dropped. So that was really cool. We still, like, wanted to do the right thing, so we contacted the forest rangers and told them we think somebody may have jumped and we didn't see him come up. And yeah, this was a few weeks ago, and like they definitely would have found something by now, and no news. So I think the lady on the ledge is playing tricks on us. People have also said that there's Native Americans here, specifically I want to say Algonquin. The word for these little tricksters is Puckwudgie, and they're like little gray goblin type dudes who, more specifically at night, they play a lot of tricks on people. They're usually accompanied by like a large shadow figure, like in the back, and he kind of is like their boss, but, I don't think it was a Puckwudgie because usually they lead you into danger. And I didn't really feel like that was the case. Some people who were at the ledge said that they felt like they had like a momentary urge to jump off, and like that I could definitely see being the work of Puckwudgies. But this I think was pretty clearly a lady on the ledge apparition, which is very frequent. Like people have had similar stories. I don't know if anybody ever saw like a piece of white fabric at the top, and it could have honestly been unrelated because it didn't really look like it was from a dress. But I thought that was an interesting point, definitely worth mentioning. My second story from the same day, actually, there's another place in the forest called Profile Rock. It's about 4 or 5 miles away. And so, it's a small hike to the top of the rock, and you can see, like, all the surrounding towns, all the it's really high. You can see, like, all the church steeples and everything, all the tall houses in the area, all the hills, all the trees. It's really cool. It's awesome in the fall. And, yeah, we were at Profile Rock. And at this point, it was getting dark, but we, like, typically go there at night. Like, it's kind of fun. We go up there, sometimes listen to your podcast. And you could hear somebody, like, making their way up the hard side of the rock, which is, like, the way we like to climb up. You can do it without gear, but some people opt for climbing gear when they do it. And we could clearly hear people rigging their gear, climbing to the top, and we're like, we're going to have company up here. And like, it's a really social place. Everybody that goes there, like, they'll hang out. Like, a lot of people go up there to drink. I prefer not to. But, yeah, so we figured it was just some, like, teenagers or something coming up, and we heard, like, the clank of gear, and then some, like, kind of like somebody pulling themselves up, but, like, sliding against the rock. And at that point, it was kind of, like, weird sounding. I didn't expect that. And just when, like, the person should have been, or the group of people, whoever it was, should have been at the top, we didn't hear anything. We looked down. We had our mag lights and flashlight down. There's nobody around. So, yeah, we hightailed out of there. And, like, from the rock to the parking lot, it's, like, another mile walk through just, like, complete dark woods. And that was really scary. It was a pretty windy day, so the trees were, like, rubbing against each other, and it sounded like people talking. I think that freaked us out more because it could have been something paranormal, or it could have been a human that had, like, bad intentions, and we just didn't see him. But I definitely felt like the whole time we were being watched, so we kind of, like, mellowed out on the way home and, like, didn't really want to, like, react to it in case something, like, followed us. Because, like, if it knew we acknowledged it or, like, were scared, I feel like it would have had a better chance of attaching itself. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So that was two stories from the forest in one day. Another like very popular piece of lore from the forest is he's known as the Mad Trucker of Copacut Road, which I haven't personally experienced, but Copacut Road's access road in the forest that a lot of me and my friends like to go off-roading on, and apparently if you go at night by yourself, you'll get tailgated by a truck, and it's going like unreasonably fast, and then all of a sudden it just vanishes. So that's pretty scary, too. But, yeah, between the park wedgies, the people sliding up the rock, and the lady in white, that place has a ton going on. So you guys should definitely look into it. You'll find a bunch of stories. It's super cool. But, yeah, that wraps it up for my story. I love you guys, man. You guys have, like, the best podcast. I can't wait to be an EPP. Thanks.
I wonder if a lot of that's residual.
In that area?
Yeah.
It sounds like the woman the woman on the bridge and things of that nature. This sounds like a very, very actively haunted place.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily by conscious entities, but things that have gone on there in the past and are still lingering to this day.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great place to explore when you're a kid and get in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. Probably not a very safe area to be wandering through either, but I could see just the morbid curiosity. If I was around there, I'd be wandering. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, is Israel calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm a first-time listener and really getting into your back catalog, kind of like going back and then working my way forward. And there was a story where I had heard you had mentioned something about elevators, and you were kind of, you and the young lady were talking in between the stories, and so that you were talking about a story about an elevator and how you were playing and seeing it would open up. So that reminded me of a story that I have. For like a year and a half, almost 2 years, I was doing bio cleaning. I had my own business here in New Mexico, and crime scene cleanup, suicides, accidents, crime scenes. Yeah. Anyways, it was pretty gory stuff. Never had any experience or really felt anything except this one particular hotel. I don't want to say the name of the hotel just because, but it's downtown Albuquerque. It's a very old hotel. Got the job. Someone had attempted suicide, and you know, go. And when you go into the service entrance down at the bottom in the basement, that was the employee entrance. There was an elevator. And then there was another elevator that was a floor up that only went to where the main entrance was for the guests. So anyways, I'm in the basement. I take the elevator all the way up. And, of course, the maintenance guy starts talking to me about the hotel, how it's haunted. And there's stuff online about the hotel, you know, like stuff that happened. It was an accident that happened back in, I think it was like the 30s. In the old boiler room area. Anyways, I'm not really one to like get afraid, especially in that job mode. You know, you're going in, you're doing a job, and you get out. So takes me up and he tells me stuff is always happening in the room. And I'm thinking at this point, you know, he's just pulling my leg. All right, I see, you know, maintenance guy just trying to scare the new guy. Okay, whatever. So I go in, you know, put my equipment down and I start doing my work. And you know, I'm doing my cleanup. Nothing's going on. Well, because it was a pretty big job, I had a friend of mine who would work with me at times come out. And she had to finish her job and then come out. And she comes out, and she's riding the elevator up, and she went to the guest entrance, so she didn't even start in the basement. And she said that she's sensitive. Well, she comes up, and she's like, "What's up with the elevators?" And I'm like, "What do you mean? Didn't you feel that weird vibe?" "No, well, it's an elevator. I felt to go up and stop." And she's insisting that there's something with the hotel. And I'm thinking, okay, you probably read something on Google because it's pretty easy. Google it, you'll see it, whatever. So we do the story. She's talking about it. She feels like a weird vibe. Well, we have to go back down to the basement, and we have to go into the old storage area, which used to be the boiler room. This huge, just big, giant room. And it's all dark and gloomy and everything. But we go down, and we have to get the bed sheets and stuff that were stained. Or contaminated, that is. So we go down, and he's telling us about it, and his office is down in this area. And we go down, and before he even gets too far in the story, my friend just freaks out. She's like, "Nope, I'm going in that area. Nothing there. So I go in there, and he starts telling me the story that back, don't know exact history of the hotel, there was an explosion. And there was a little girl, I guess one of the daughters of the guys that worked there, one of the workers. She tried to hide in one of the dumbwaiters, but unfortunately she ended up dying. So supposedly her ghost will go randomly open the elevators, and that people have seen entities. And that down in the basement area, I guess her father passed away also from the explosion, from the accident, and that he's there. Other people say that they've seen him. Like, all right, whatever. So go down, you know, we have to take multiple trips because there's multiple bags of contaminated stuff. So we're going up, and we're riding the, I get to the elevator, and push the button, doesn't open. Down in the basement, I'm like, okay, this is taking a while. So finally opens, get the stuff, go all the way to the top floor or to the where the room is, get the rest of the equipment, and we're getting ready to go, and I have to ride the elevator down. But I'm pushing the button, and the elevator's not opening. And there's another elevator that you can get to, the one that only goes down to where the guest level is. And I really don't want to haul all my equipment, right, over to that elevator because it's a couple steps away, a couple, you know, little distance. So I asked the maid, is there something up with this elevator? Because it seems like, you know, you'll call it, but it doesn't open. But you can hear the other elevator that only goes to the guest level open. And she's like, it's because of the ghost. You know, she's telling me in Spanish, in, not Spanish, but in broken English, that is, it's the ghost. It's the ghost who sometimes will open it for you and sometimes it won't. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm like, fine. I get all my equipment. I walk over to the other side where it goes to the elevator, to the guest elevator. And I'm like, okay, I'll go all the way down to where it goes down. And then I'll have to get off and walk down the steps, the stairs that is, to get into the basement. I'm like, I'm already irate at this point, right? But I'm like, fine, whatever, part of the job. So I do it, and I get out, and I'm walking down the steps. And get out to the car, and I realize, crap, I forgot something. I got to go back up. So I get back to the basement elevator, and there's this other maid there. And I'm getting in the elevator, and I tell her, you know, about the little scenario that just happened. And she's like, this is what people do. They'll go to the elevator. They'll push, literally, like, a bunch of different floors. So it keeps one elevator busy, and the other one will come faster. So in other words, if you're in the basement and you push all these different floors, it's going to make the other elevator, the guest elevator, go to multiple different floors and open, even though no one really pressed it because the person in the elevator pressed it. And she's like, and it'll free up this elevator. So that way, if you need it, you know, it comes a little bit faster. And then I'm like, well, wait. I thought that supposedly the elevator opened up randomly because of a ghost. And we're speaking in Spanish. And she looks at me, she puts her finger over her mouth, and she's, shh, that's what we tell the guest. And I'm like, ah, great. So there's no ghost, there's no haunting. It's just a little thing that we do to add, you know, to the whole fable of the elevator. I'm like, okay. And it's funny, she's telling me this, right? So I go up, and I get my stuff, and I'm coming back down. But before I get to the elevator door opens. Which, of course, I'm not freaked out, because she just told me this story a couple minutes ago. I'm like, okay, so I get in the elevator, and it goes, we're on the ninth floor, and it goes down to the fourth floor, elevator opens, nobody's out there. And it goes down to the third floor, opens, nobody's down there. And I have to admit, at this point, that was kind of creepy. Because you hear the story about the kid, and you read the stuff online, and then she tells me one thing, and it's like, okay, that obviously is, you know, she pushed all the buttons, that's what's making it open. So we get all the way down, and we get all the way down to the basement, right? And that's where I have to go out. And it goes down to the basement, and it just stops, and it doesn't open. And it's like literally like a good 10 seconds, but it's like the most awkward 10 seconds, and I'm kind of like freaking out, right? I'm like, okay, so I don't know if I should push a button or what. I think maybe it's just stuck. And I just say, please open the elevator. And it opens. And at that point, I was like, all right, I don't know if maybe there is a ghost, And the young lady was just waiting for me. The girl said is, the young girl was waiting for me to ask permission nicely, politely, I don't know. Or maybe I just jumped the gun and, you know, it was only a couple of seconds and it seemed like it was forever. I don't know. But it was funny how I went from like total non-believer, yeah, whatever, whatever, and then getting on the elevator and that woman telling me the story about how they push all the buttons to make the elevator go everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, that's a logical reason. So like having that little experience and totally just like questioning, well, is that actually the reason, or is there, maybe that's what she told herself, maybe that's what she figured out, I don't know. But that was my experience in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Anyways, love the show. I'm pretty far back, but I'm listening daily, so I'll be on the same page with you guys and the new shows hopefully soon. Take care.
Or maybe the little girl didn't want to open the elevator until they got to the basement where her dad died and he made her do it.
Shh, that's what we tell the guests. It's always kind of funny because you expect it to be the other way around where it's like, shh, don't tell the guests about the ghost.
Uh-huh.
We would tell them it's somebody pressed the buttons and that's all it is. It's maintenance doing or an employee doing something.
Or a kid did it.
Yeah, it's
a
not,
live one.
Not the opposite.
No.
I still have a thing for elevators.
Yeah.
I find there's an element of creepiness in them all the time.
Yeah.
Never quite know exactly what's going to happen. I've never been stuck in an elevator. Have you ever been stuck in an elevator?
No.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
I think that would be, I would be a little freaked out.
Yeah.
If that were to happen. I'd try and stay calm, but I think just, I don't really get claustrophobic or anything, but I think I would start to feel a little bit, especially if there's like other people in there that I don't know, that would just be really uncomfortable.
Right.
Luckily, I think the only elevator I go on, it goes to like between two stories and I'm the only one ever in it.
Yeah.
So it's usually not too bad of a deal. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the bonus episodes of our program. Only $5 a month is all that is to do that and keep this thing on the air. So please consider doing that at ghostpodcast.com. Our book is out, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Am I missing anything as far as books? Amazon, Barnes & Noble is another?
I don't know.
There's a lot of... I think wherever books are sold covers it.
Yeah.
So, there you go. They are out there for your reading enjoyment. Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters... Haunting Encounters... It's like Chowders. Haunting Encounters Told by Real People.
So wow.
Check it out. It's been a long day. Wraps up today's episode for Jenny Brisky. I'm Tony Brisky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go have some chowder.
Uh-huh.